Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.
Welcome to our Happy New Year show. A couple days early, but I'm entitled to grab it when I can. This is Zara Larson of Circles of Change, and I have with me in the studio Sue Drake, the founder of Drake Resource Group. Welcome, Sue. How are you today?
I'm excellent. Thanks.
I'm so glad I could get you in the studio live. It doesn't get any better than this. Let me introduce you. She's founder and president of Drake Resource, which is working with Fortune 100, 500, and 1,000 companies in leadership development, innovative training solutions, and business result improvements. No wonder that you and I got connected. Mm-hmm. That's our line of work. Sue's friendly, honest, and intuitive leadership style makes the business world a great place to be. I couldn't say so more. She's been in the custom learning solutions consulting arena now for 30 years, starting with a software training consulting firm in the Chicago area as classroom facilitator, instructional designer, project manager, computer-based training department manager, and ultimately vice president for training and product development. In 1994, though, Sue launched her business to partner with clients with a level of care and compassion not widely found in corporate America. Today, she provides instructional designers, organizational developers, project managers, graphic artists, web developers, technical writers, facilitators for clients who need to develop their employees' skills. So in other words, a bit of a turnkey operation.
I was going to say, yikes.
Yikes. I do all of that. Isn't that what happens here? Popular topics that her organization helps facilitate them within firms include the sales process, product knowledge, customer service, patience, takes us back early days, I suspect, quality, client requirements, and that's to next. Due to the extension of the recession, though, as well as the increased receptivity for providing online learning solutions now, Sue has recently added learning management system development to its portfolio of services. So her personal approach to lifelong learning supports that anonymous quote, "The truly educated really never graduate." So well said. Learning management system development, that's a mouthful, but I think if we get that back to the fact that delivery of education is in so many different venues this day and age,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly. And it keeps broadening, but very excitingly provides variety. And that's the whole point of using a learning management system, is to have all those bits and pieces like a puzzle pulled together into one area that we can actually look at, keep track of, plan for, and know that it's all going to be well put and well placed.
Well, I think that is probably one of the challenges within companies, particularly those who've invested in their own systems, is we have a tendency sometimes to think that one size can fit all, and that really doesn't work, does it?
Not at all.
No.
Not at all. In fact, many of the larger organizations have multiple learning management systems just because of that purpose, because different business units have different requirements, or they have multiple product areas, and each one needs its own specialty niches. So you're absolutely right. It's a custom. I mean, each particular area that we build is very unique to not just the entire organization, but to the business unit, to their specific culture requirements, to the learners, etc.
You bet. Let me anchor this with an example.
Sure.
It comes rich out of my own automotive background. There was a day and time when the U.S. Automotive companies and the dealers were some of the highest trained, highest regarded, and certified technicians in the country and beyond. And in fact, we even went from calling them mechanics to technicians because of the complexity of the technology. Mm-hmm. The way in which that training was delivered, though, was at regional technical centers where individuals could go and learn about how to service an automatic transmission by opening up the valve body and getting their hands in, which, of course, for technicians, hands-on generated people, very visual, that was the way to learn.
Exactly.
Well, in comes the onset of DVD, or actually tape cassettes and video systems, and you saw companies thinking that was the wave of the future. They could save money, they could speed up the process. And then what happens years later is to come to realize that now some of those technician groups are the worst trained in the industry because the organization's lost track of the modalities of this learning system.
Right. And they didn't update probably.
They didn't update,
It's not something that you just do once and then forget about. It is an ongoing evolution of building the particular courseware that's needed at that moment in time, mm-hmm. and then making sure that it connects with maybe previous training solutions or those that are coming in the future so that we have some longevity, a historical record, as well as a future plan.
Oh, boy, that's getting scary. You mean I just can't go to your catalog and say, give me three of these?
No.
No, it doesn't work that way.
It's not a product, per se. We're talking about people.
Yeah.
You know, we're all different, too.
Well, and if we look at what's changed in a lot of industries here that are regulatory-based, I mean, look at the upheaval mm-hmm. in the financial services mm-hmm. industry or insurance, which, of course, are two yes. industries that I know Drake Resource Group
we do a lot of work
satisfies. There. You do a lot of work mm-hmm. there, is that now the necessity to step in and update regulatory training. And, you know, the idea that people would have to sit in a classroom with a teacher may not be required. So therein comes online learning, that you can do it at your own pace,
correct.
At your own time of day.
We don't have the time during the day to go to a class anymore. So, right, we have maybe an hour at lunch, maybe, or it's usually nights and weekends. We're just trying to fit in 15 minutes to an hour here or there. And that's really a lot of what we've been doing lately, is transforming a full day, or even what we're doing right now, we're doing a 10-day new agent curriculum for one of the larger insurance companies, and we're converting it to a more, what's referred to as a blended learning solution or experience.
Great.
And we're breaking it down into very, very smaller pieces, because these folks don't have 10 days.
Well, I think there's also something to be said that you can't necessarily absorb the learning in 10 days, right? It's the other piece
so
is to
critical,
put it
right.
over a period of time so you can use it and then put it into action.
Use it when you need it.
Yeah.
As adult learners, we're not going to go learn something we don't need right away. So you're exactly right. Let me learn and then let me go do something and make sure that I can now have a new skill or yesterday. That gives satisfaction as a career person that, boom, I'm on track right away, instead of waiting for the time where I'm going to need to use that information.
Because the half-life of that recognition or memory in our data banks, as sharp as we might think you are, gets displaced real
it's
quick.
It's about 10%,
ooh,
believe it or
ouch,
not, that I can
10%.
Recall after I've gone through a day's worth of training. Yeah.
That is a frightening 10%. Prospect for companies then that put so much yeah. money and time away from the job.
Well, and that's why we're going to more digitally or electronically technology-based learning, because then I can go back and refresh my memory.
Point
I can't
is.
Go back to a workshop and refresh my memory unless I have something on paper, and even that's a little bit more.
But even then, we all have got, in our offices, at least some of us, I'll show my age, have got book after book after book about the workshop I went mm-hmm. with my notes. And even if they gave me a DVD of filming what we did at the workshop, it doesn't necessarily have the stick.
Well, and what page do you look at? You open
that's
the binder.
True.
What section, what page do I go to? If it's online, I have a little bit better way by those search mechanisms.
That's true. Yep.
To quickly get what I need to refresh my memory.
To find it. Particularly because if you've moved offices a number of times, just like if
oh my
you've moved to homes, mm-hmm. you have to go on a great archaeological dig, and you can't remember which box you put it in anyways
so
to find it.
It's in the garage or it's in the basement.
Which always makes me wonder, why did I save it in the first time? But I can't give it up. Mm-hmm. Well, so, you know, a lot of companies, indeed, over the period of this extended recession, have cut a lot of things. They've cut people. They've cut mm-hmm. learning systems, but they've doubled up the workload expectations on their people, and you have to learn it on the fly and learn it on the go. Granted, maybe there was some slack in the system that we could take down, but on the flip side, not this much. Mm-hmm. And so I suspect your business has been really challenged over the last 5 or 6 years, but my goodness, are you well poised for the upswing?
I'll tell you, those of us in this instructional design adult learning space have been talking about this criticality spot for 10 years now. We saw it coming right around 9/11, mostly because, not because of that dire circumstance, but more because of the age bracket and the number in the
age.
Population.
Right.
The Gen Xers were really coming on strong in their careers at that point, and there are less than half of those folks compared to the boomers. Now boomers are retiring. There's a lot of open positions. The Xers, there's just not enough of them to fill those spots, let alone are they skilled enough to do it.
Right.
So we had a double whammy less people, and now companies have pulled back so much on their training that those folks are not capable of stepping into the shoes of someone who's been in that role for 20-some years. So what we're also doing now to fill the gap is moving to our Gen Ys, our millennials. Well, they don't have very much experience on the job. They don't have the intellectual maturity. So, yeah, we've got our work cut out for us as a country to, or as an entire global system to build into the organizations things that we've lost in the last few years.
The good news, though, with regard to the younger generation is they're so technology savvy and learning flexible, I'll call it, so that provided you can move your content, your delivery mechanism to online, which, by the way, you have no choice because the younger millennials want to absorb it so much faster, looking at three screens at the same time, that you're well poised, provided companies and organizations like yours will have the capacity to step in and create the mechanisms.
I applaud them. I'm so excited that these folks are technically savvy because they're the ones that are now driving the change.
They're driving the change.
Whereas from a business objective perspective, we've been saying all along it makes so much more sense financially and from a learning perspective to move things online. We haven't had the clout to get
That's
our message through.
The
younger change generations are the ones that are helping us.
That's
us,
right.
Those that have been wanting to do this for quite some time, they're helping us say, we want it.
That's right.
We
well, the other
it.
Piece is that, you know, change comes for two ways, either an intense vision of opportunity or a tremendous feeling of pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so we
mm-hmm.
got a lot of pain.
We have both.
We
have both simultaneously
yeah.
now, which is why the impact of our world, our training world, is starting to kick back in again. I've really seen it this year.
Mm-hmm.
The desire is strong. The receptivity for executive management to say, okay, we've waited long enough. Now we need to do something about it. We can't hold off anymore. And the technology. Actually, we've kind of had to wait for technology to catch up as well.
True,
we've had
right.
some ideas. The technology wasn't able to deliver the way we wanted it to. It can now.
In fact, our next segment is going to be with Paul Baylow, and he's just written a book called The Essential Digital Interviewing Guide. Essentially, the fact that if we thought you needed training on doing face-to-face interviews, now you have this thing called lights, camera, Skype. So the entire use of technology to speed up the hiring mm-hmm. process by allowing virtual and remote interviews.
I just did a remote interview last Friday with a gentleman in the Philippines.
Absolutely. And that's you know, more and more a walk of life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so your organization then, the Drake Resource Group, and also Ascendus Learning Connection, because mm-hmm. you engage a
right.
lot of people.
Right, we have
people,
two sides of the house.
Two
mm-hmm.
sides of the house that you provide the strategy side, and then for mm-hmm. companies also provide the talent that can go help implement this.
Mm-hmm.
Every organization, though, is faced with that question of, you know, how do we make sense of all these different tools and platforms? So how do we create such a system? And you had a series of questions that could help clients kind of vet through, am I ready for this, or to what extent I need to move into something as big
right,
as this?
Right. We actually borrowed that from another
Certainly.
Resource,
sure.
but it seemed to work for us as well. There's about 16 statements and questions that an organization can ask themselves to see if they're ready. It's really a readiness factor. Are you ready to bring in a systemized plan for learning? A lot of it had to do with change, which mm-hmm. is why we thought this might be a good topic for this morning, because as an organization or as an individual leading an organization, am I willing to do what it needs to take to embark on something of this nature? And so the questions are a little bit vague, and yet they're meant to be that way, to allow me as an organization leader to think through my current situation.
Yeah, number one, first and foremost, is do I have commitment, both the commitment of my superiors and myself and my staff, that anything we come up that mm-hmm. can really be implemented, and then put in that whole process of the change plan and then communicating as well. So you've got to communicate success to reinforce it.
Communicate before, during, and after,
right.
which is kind of the three steps of learning anyway. Tell me what I'm going to learn. Help me learn. Remind me what I just learned.
That's right.
So,
and not just the day after, but maybe
no,
6 months later.
On a regular
later.
Basis.
And more importantly is, do I have the metrics in place to really measure that there's been an impact from what
and
we've invested
especially
in?
Especially these days with the skills that we're trying to teach, such as decision-making, strong communication skills, levels of quality. How do you measure things like that? Well, there are ways, but you have to think that through well in advance to make sure you're measuring the right characteristics of those skills.
The other thing is, of course, you ask the question, you know, when change is happening, I expect people to continue to perform at 100%.
That's not my expectation. That's business expectation.
Right.
That's organizational expectation. Just because they're putting something new in doesn't mean I can change or pull back on what I'm doing today. I have to keep going full force and adapt to what's coming.
Other than, though, I would say some of the challenges I've brought to bear when we've done these kind of learning systems is to say, it isn't just what we go live with, but what attention are we going to put to what needs to go dead? You know, what do we turn off?
Oh,
and that takes a tremendous amount of fortitude to
right.
do that.
Well, it's cleaning house. I mean, we do it on a personal basis, and we get rid of what's no longer working for us, whether it's cleaning a closet or a drawer. If you take that same analogy and put it in the business world, what's not working?
Right.
What's not working for us anymore? What are we putting more effort and time into that really we're not receiving the results we hope to? Those are tough questions, and they're more tough decisions to get rid of them, but they're very necessary.
Sure, because actually they'll continue to crowd out anything new that you've tried to implement.
Well, talking from a productivity point of view, it's wasting time and energy.
Right. You know, the idea... This one question is number 12 I have on the list in front of me that comes from Mind Tools, was the name of the organization. Mm-hmm. Edgy Partners. This says, you know, it's harder to manage change effectively when the organization has previously managed change projects badly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how is it you've come to work with your clients to help them let go of the past, good, bad, and the ugly, so they can come at something like this with a fresh slate?
I would say just the enthusiasm and the excitement
the people,
of what...
Yeah.
can be, instead of focusing on what was and didn't go well. Again, let's not look at the past. Let's look forward and what's the possibilities. That's a personality style, though. Some of us are easily able to do, and others have a little trouble with that, but that's really it. I think our group brings a lot of enthusiasm. We're excited about what we do. We know what the capabilities are and what the potential is. Being able to communicate how enthusiastic we are, I think that's actually my job as I work with my clients right off the bat as I hear a thought or concern, helping them think through, is it really as bad as it you think it is?
Well,
probably not.
Probably not. I think the other piece of it, we're speaking, by the way, with Sue Drake, and she leads a company she founded almost 20 years ago, the Drake Resource Group. It's drake-resources.com. I think that's the power of bringing outside professionals in to help you, is it gives you a perspective on the possible, and it also tells you real quick, you're not alone with the challenges
no,
you're struggling
at all.
With, particularly this area mm-hmm. of training and development in companies.
And we bring a lot of questions to the table and thoughts and ideas. We're not here to take over. Some consultants, I think, have, unfortunately, that approach. That's not our way at all. So when we understand what a particular organization is going through and what they hope to do, we're there to start tossing out some ideas and see how well that they feel it might be useful for them. Once we can kind of glean and we're sensing, it's a lot of intuition, but we're sensing a hope, we're going to try to reinforce that even more and walk with this organization. We're going to part the word partner, but really it's walking alongside and helping them take it a bit at a time, step at a time. And I say start small. If you're going to work on, if it's a huge endeavor, very hard to get started in the big picture immediately. Just start small. Get started.
Some training need or educational need that would give your community that reinforcement. They can mm-hmm. go through that and walk mm-hmm. through it together. Sue, some of the larger industries you work with, we mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. of course, you've been involved with the insurance industry,
right.
financial services. For a firm like yours, then, granted, you're doing custom solutions within mm-hmm. your different clients and the like. I would imagine, though, there's some pretty pervasive common threads that cut across these industries, aren't there? Like in the area of leadership development.
I was just going to say that's the one that keeps popping to my mind right now because we're in critical space for that one. But also, just believe it or not, sales skills. We have that down pat by now. But no, because sales is all about human dynamic and human behavior, and that consistently changes our sales approaches, our processes, our style. What's really become evident these days is that taking the perspective off of me as a salesperson and putting it on my buyer, helping my buyer buy. And what's really different than the last few years is my buyer knows more about me than I know about them when I first meet them.
Yeah, that's isn't that true?
Because they've already done the research. They've heard
right. You can
fake
run,
resources.
But you can't hide.
No,
yeah.
They've gone to the website. They know about me. It's for me to do my research as well in advance and then don't reiterate what they already know. Take what they know, ask a few questions to secure and understand what they already know, and then take it from there. So my whole approach in meeting with a new client is very different than how I started things out just a few short years ago. So we've been doing a lot of sales training and try to open the mind of our salespeople to be more from a psychological, emotional perspective and think about the human being that I'm talking to, not about what product or service that I have to sell.
And that's a message for anyone, regardless of what your industry is.
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's for nonprofits, too. I mean, we've been somewhat talking about for-profit organizations, but the services side, as well as the social aspects of what do I provide my community, my church, my school, any of those groups, it's the same. It really is the same approach as what can I do to help serve.
If there's another talent space, though, slice of capability that's really been hardly impacted, I think, over these last 5 to 8 years, it's the customer service area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost we as consumers have come to accept mediocre customer service or no customer service or totally do it on your own or forget it, can't find a human anyways, I'll just yank it out, throw it away, and buy a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't sit well with me if you think about the pain that we feel as consumers or businesses, whatever, that we're doing service. So let's flip that then to the opportunity side. It's for that organization that really can delight and isn't not just customer service, but customer care.
Mm-hmm.
Wide open angle, isn't it?
Well, we've heard about the big hospitality groups that do so well, the Ritz-Carlton's, the Nordstrom, mm-hmm. in those particular areas, or Saks Fifth Avenue, but most of us don't interact with those people.
Sure.
And yet, if we can learn from how they have taught their people to serve their clients, it makes so much difference even in our small little area. Again, can I stop and listen? What is that person really struggling with? What interests them? Again, I think we all just want to be known for who we are, our value, our specialty niches, our skills, or whatever.
And if anything, that customer service or customer care is an immediate wraparound back to sales, provided you've got
it's
that
a right
side
hand, left-hand, right-hand hand scenario.
Right.
They both really support an organization.
That's right.
Exactly.
Well, Sue, you started in the whole software arena yourself,
mm-hmm.
and now you are branched out so broad in leadership mm-hmm. development, a variety of things. How is it you think you've changed the most by helping organizations change?
Oh, great question. I would say just what I reiterated about the sales approach, but I've taken that at a broader level, and it's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about me as the consultant. It's not about me as a business owner. It's not about me and what I know or what I can do. It's what can I do for others. Really, and maybe that's just a maturity thing. Maybe that's not about my career. Maybe that's just living life. But
it is true. I think it's a mindset, though. It's a mm-hmm. classic saying is that, people really don't care how much you know until mm-hmm. they first know how much you care.
Right.
And that's what
that's
you said.
Exactly. That's exactly what I said. It's about how I can help and serve others and what's important to them. Every organization is totally different, and it's my hope and desire to really get down to those nuances. What's unique about that organization?
Mm-hmm.
What makes them special, but there are uniquenesses about them. And what we do is we go around and we walk the halls, and we're looking for nuances that are not as obvious maybe in their marketing or their branding, but there's about the culture, the people, whether it's the cartoons they put on the side of
absolutely, or how they do or don't decorate their offices.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's another piece of that all comes back to the whole world of consulting and business services.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to provide the cookie cutter approach or the modular, which can be very cost effective, very fast, both for you and for the client. But it's totally another challenge to be in the custom solution business, mm-hmm. that you really want to not be an independent consultant, but in some regards an interdependent consultant, because you want to earn the opportunity to walk right within the walls, like you say, of your clients, mm-hmm. and maybe ask them questions that they wouldn't even know to ask themselves.
And that is usually the case.
Usually somebody in the organization says, we've been telling them that now for 6 years. Thank goodness someone from the outside came in and said it.
Isn't that always the case? We can hear it from somebody that's not that close to us.
It's the same way it goes in our own lives.
It does. But you're right. It's like we do like to bring up some thoughts and suggestions maybe that they hadn't thought of, that it could have been discussed in another organization, different industry.
Right.
But now, all of a sudden, because we have such broad experience across the industries, across large, medium-sized, non-profit, for-profit companies, we can bring
together
an idea that they may not have ever considered.
Very good. Well, Sue Drake, thank you so much for joining us again. Drake Resource Group. It's drake-resources.com. Thanks for contributing here. Is your organization ready for a learning management system? I think that's a place to go look at and connect with Sue.
Thanks so much.
It's a great, and particularly here at the beginning of a new year.
Good point.
Take care. Thanks for joining
You're
us.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
You bet.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.